Literary critic Michael Gora has taken a very interesting approach in writing his new book, Portrait of a Novel, Henry James and the Making of an American Masterpiece, combining elements of biography, criticism, and travelogue, and recreating the dramatic backstory of James's masterpiece, Portrait of a Lady. Gora shows how this novel, the scandalous story of the expatriate American heiress Isabel Archer, came to be written in the first place. Traveling to Florence, Rome, Paris, and England, Gora sheds new light on James's family, the European literary circles in which James made his name, and the psychological forces that enabled him to create this most memorable of female protagonists. Michael Gora teaches English at Smith College. His books include After Empire, The Bells in Their Silence, and his editor, the Norton critical edition of Faulkner's As I Lay Dying. It is a great pleasure to welcome Michael Gora to the roundtable. Michael, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure.
Well, thank you for having me.
The book is fascinating and so interesting to read. I assume it comes out of a love of the novel itself.
Well, it comes out of a love of the novel, which goes back to really when I was an undergraduate. I remember reading it as a junior in college and just falling in love with the novel from the very first sentence. And I think, like a lot of boys, I fell in love with Isabel as well. And since then, I've taught it often. I've read it more often. So it's almost 40 years of experience of reading the novel and reading Henry James that's gone into that. Of course, your experience and reaction does change over time, and I think when I was 18 and 19, aside from being besotted by the character, I was also enthralled simply by James as a prose stylist, by the formal qualities of the novel, and as I get a little older, or I guess now a lot older, I'm drawn to other things as well, to James the traveler, James the member of a family, of a complicated family, and James the American with who had a lot of interesting things to say about his own ambivalences about America. So it's a book I've lived with and in a way grown with. It's a long answer.
No, it's a good answer. Is there ever a trepidation in learning too much about something you love so much that you can become somehow disenchanted?
I think there's a danger, but I think it's something that one can avoid. I know what you're getting at. There's a line, and my students sometimes push this back at me in a Wordsworth poem, where Wordsworth says we murder to dissect, and it's never been clear to me whether he means that we have to murder something in order to dissect it, or that the act of dissection is itself a murder, that you kill the work that you analyze. And I know that can happen. For me, I think all I have to do is start reading, go back to the first page. You go back to the first page and you do your best to forget everything else you've read about the work, or to bracket it off, and sometimes it seems all fresh again, all new. There are moments, I'll admit, when you're preparing a work for class that you've taught many times before, when it doesn't seem that fresh, and then you really should get rid of your notes and start over again. But simply reading on my own, I don't think I can know too much, and knowing the things I know it doesn't seem to get in the way of anything like an immediacy of response. I hope it goes on that way.
It seems in reading the book, it certainly never came across to me as a dissection or more importantly a murder.
Well, thanks.
What it comes across is you putting this wonderful novel into a context. Of both the author and of the story.
Right. Well, I'm glad it seems that way. That's one of the things I wanted to do, or to put the novel into several different contexts. I think of the book as telling as telling a story, or rather as telling the different stories of The Portrait of a Lady. And one of the stories I'm telling is, of course, the story in the novel, where I follow the book out almost chapter by chapter and try to say what's going on in James's own prose and in his construction of the plot. But the book has, I tell the story of the novel as well. And by that I mean the story, as you said in your opening remarks, the story of how it came to be written, of the things in his own life that went into it, but also the things in his reading in other novelists of his time, like George Eliot or Ivan Turgenev. I tried to tell the story also of how the book was published, and you know, and some of that is simply the ways in which books were published, because we forget now, I think, we forget now that most of the great 19th century novels didn't first appear in hardcovers. They appeared in magazines. They were read month by month by month. The Portrait of a Lady came out over the course of 14 months, and you had to do your best to keep in mind what had been going on in the previous month in order to follow it. It was in the Atlantic Monthly, and most of James's novels appeared in the Atlantic Monthly or in other magazines for their first audience. So that's one of the stories I want to tell, is of how things were published and what difference the way in which a book was published made to the kind of story the writer would tell. I also wanted to say what difference The Portrait of a Lady made in terms of James's own career and in terms of the kinds of things people began to think they could do with novels for his own career. It was a success, and then it was a kind of disaster. And it was a disaster because it was, I don't want to say overpraised, but his friend and editor, William Dean Howells, praised it in an impolitic way. He implied in an essay that it was better than Dickens or George Eliot, and the English critics just pounced on that. Mm. They weren't, you know, Eliot had only recently died, and the English critics weren't willing to think that this upstart nation might be able to match them, at least in terms of novels.
He had great commercial success with Daisy Miller, and he won widespread acclaim with Portrait of a Lady. And yet, the version that we read now is actually something that he went back and revisited almost 30 years after he originally wrote it.
That's right. Portrait of a Lady exists really in two versions, and both of them are in print. There's the version that he published in 1881. And then late in his life, in 1905, 1906, going on for a couple of years, he decided he wanted to put together a collected edition of his works, and an edition in which that would be a kind of monument. And one of the things he decided to do was to revise his early works to bring them more fully in line with his later style, which was more complicated and elaborate, and also with some of his later concerns. And he thought of himself in some ways as bringing out the possibilities in that book, in his early work, that he hadn't been able to fully to exploit when he was younger. So with Portrait, he revised it. There's something different in almost every paragraph. He added certain moments. He added crucial bits of description with a much greater metaphoric force, and also, frankly, a much greater sense of physicality, and also at certain moments, at the end especially, of the kind of sexual force of relations between a couple of characters. And I say sexual force, I don't mean that there's anything like a modern sex scene, but there is a moment, there's a great kiss at the end of the novel when the heroine, Isabel, is confronted by a man who's courted her for years, and she's now married, but this American who's pursued her for years knows she's unhappy and kisses her, and in the first version, that's it. And in the later version, it's a kiss that I'll have to remember the quotation and paraphrase, but it spreads and spreads and spreads, and it makes her whole body tingle. And James just runs with this kiss for four or five sentences, and it actually gets quite explicit. Now, that's not something he could have written himself in 1881. I'm not certain the physical frankness of that could really have been written by any novelist working in English at that period. But, you know, the 20th century was a different time, and James had had an extraordinary experience of reading French fiction, which had always been more explicit. And he put all that reading and all that experience into that later version. We do have two versions, and people go back and forth about which they prefer. Some people like the relative spontaneity of the first version. I like the greater weight of the second version. Of course, in this book, I draw on both of them.
Mm.
I will say, for my classes, I tend to order the later version.
Does it? And you see a progression of a writer and a human and of a man, of someone who has matured and aged and also is more skilled.
Well, thank you. That's one of the things I was hoping to convey. I think that's right, that just because somebody is writing great books, and the first version of Portrait is a great book, so just because somebody is writing it at an extraordinary level doesn't mean that they stop. They do grow and change, and everything that happens to them, everything they learn, everything they write in between, goes into that later work. And when James revises the novel, he's different in a lot of ways. He's 25 years older. He's had his parents die, and his sister died, and a lot of friends have died. He has written a great many more books. He's also, for the first time, really known the force of passion himself. It's an unconsummated passion. It's a passion for a series of handsome younger men. But he has it's entirely private, but he has a sense of the force of love that he didn't really have as a young man. And he draws on all of that in writing, in revising the novel. He does change. He's not the same. He's the same person, but he's not the same person.
Michael Gora's new book is Portrait of a Novel, Henry James and the Making of an American Masterpiece. It is published by LiveRight, which is a division of Norton. Michael Gora, I thank you very much for sharing your expertise with us this morning. Best of luck with the volume.
Thank you very much.
A great pleasure. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.